I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Don't let the bells end, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the 12 Rambles of Christmas in association with Bet365. We're on number 10. It's the business end.
Oh, yes.
It's business time,
don't
gentlemen.
Let the bell end. Bells end.
Chocolate rain.
We were listening to a bit of Tears on Day before we started. Mm. Let's stick that in there.
I'm feeling festive. I've never heard of him before.
That's so strange.
Mm. It is strange.
Mm-hmm. But here we are, ladies and gentlemen, for more strangeness in the world of football that we love. Now, we love a keenly contested match in football.
Hence the derby.
Exactly.
That we talked about earlier.
Exactly. Yeah. A good old-fashioned ding-dong where it's end-to-end from the off. When your team comes out on top of one of those matches, it's very enjoyable. I think a 4-3 or a 5-4 or something like that. Yeah. Very enjoyable. Indeed, it's also enjoyable when your team absolutely tear another side to shreds. Today, we're looking at The Hammering, ladies and gentlemen.
Starring Christopher Lee. 1956, The Hammering. Very good. Hammer horror.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, there's so much. The Hammering. When you watch a side get completely done.
But your positive mindset, Marcus, where you say, oh, it's always great when you see your team tear another team to pieces.
Yeah.
Of course, when you're on the other end of it,
it's awful.
It's not quite as pleasant.
It is awful.
Absolutely not. And I mean, how are we defining a hammering? Because we have discussed what's what over the years. I mean,
yeah,
for me, it's got to be plus five.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Five or more.
So you're saying 4-0 isn't a hammering?
I disagree with that because
you don't think.
Yeah, no, I because when Milan beat Barcelona in the Champions League final 4-0, I mean that's a hammering, especially in the context.
I mean, maybe I'm just the context is important.
When Hearts beat Hibs in the Scottish Cup final, you know,
maybe I'm just a more discerning.
Well, it depends because if
it's of the hammering.
Well, but perhaps your boundaries.
I'm talking like drubbings.
No, I am as well, but you can have an extremely one-sided affair.
Mm. Yeah, it's not just about the scoreline, is it? I mean, you could come out of a game winning 4-0 and it could have been 8 or 9.
Yeah.
And that's a battering. I mean, that's an absolute hammering.
Yeah, I think that...
That's about as one-sided an affair as I'm having with Scarlett Johansson.
Yes, it is. Yeah. Exactly.
But exactly. Think about when was it Liverpool beat Manchester City, Manchester United 4-1 at Old Trafford when Torres... gave Vidic a terrible time.
But Gerrard scored 2 penalties
and missed
a third. Yeah,
4-1?
Yeah, I think so.
See, in the context of that, that was a hammering. But I see what you mean. If you, I think for the purists, you're talking probably 4 and over.
Yeah.
I would say.
Or certainly that's the margin, not necessarily the goal score.
I think that's fair. And I think the other thing that's, it's not just about scorelines, we have to make that clear. But another thing that I feel is vital in a hammering is, and I'm talking about when you're watching it as a neutral here, you see... a couple of goals go in and there's suddenly a situation where something's happening here and everyone knows it.
Heads are going.
But no one really knows what to do about it. So before you know it, like professional players just seem really physically drained and emotionally all over the place. Managers appear instantly powerless to do anything about it. The atmosphere in the stadium goes weird and you know you're on for one. And sometimes it's hard... to sort of really properly quantify what you're watching, but you know you've seen it. And to me, that isn't necessarily that much to do with the scoreline. Mm-hmm. That's more to do with how the game plays out.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not talking about Manchester City thrashing Huddersfield at home. You can see that coming.
Yeah.
We're talking about them smashing Man United at the Swamp.
One at the Swamp. But the thing with that, though, as well, is that for every drained player on one side, the player on the side that's winning is energized. So you get this perfect kind of.
They smell
there
blood.
There needs
don't
to be
they?
An equilibrium. There needs to be that balance where one team just lose their heads and the other team are energized by it, as I say, and then you get those mad scorelines between big teams.
You're not going to get
rare.
You're not going to get the mad scoreline if the team who are on the up think, do you know what? We've got another game on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Let's just, this game's won.
Yeah, let's try and see this one out.
I like it when the manager doesn't make substitutions.
Yeah.
I'm going to save him for Tuesday. No, you're not. You're going to get him to score number 2.
Well, it's if you see the panic in the team that are losing, that's when it's, as you say, when you smell blood, and that's when you get these delicious ones. I suppose that Brazil, Germany would be a really good example of that.
They were ruthless as well. I hate it when managers do rest their players when they sort of go, oh, we've got a big match in midweek. Because no, that's not what football is about.
Exactly.
Make something memorable for the fans.
There's nothing more annoying, and I've long thought this, as, you know, say you're watching a game, as a neutral, and one team goes 3-0 up at half-time.
Yeah.
There's nothing more annoying than
taking the foot off the gas.
No, when the manager has obviously said to them at half-time, right, nothing silly, let's play the game out, and the game finishes 3-0.
Let's make it a friendly for the next 45
annoying.
Minutes.
Yeah, I
want to see people streaming out of the... flipping stadium.
Yeah, throw it. I want to see a season ticket thrown on the ground. But usually, it always seems to be at the feet of Steve McLaren.
Paul Lambert.
Sometimes Lambo, yeah. But
Lambo.
I, Marcus, you said at the top of this, we all like a ding
Lambo.
Dong affair. Yeah, a ding dong affair, like a 4-3 or 5-4. And we do, of course. Mm. And it's great to go see a game where there's two teams going at it, especially when it's a big game and you don't know which way it's going to swing. That's fantastic, of course. But I wonder if there's something about the human psyche, the same way that people slow down on the motorway to rubberneck a car accident or whatever, which is a very well-observed phenomenon. Mm. I wonder whether the drubbing, the hammering, the battering is actually more enjoyable to watch as a neutral.
There's an odd pleasure from it.
Yeah, like, as you know, sort of like you feel like a bit of a... Like you're rubbernecking, basically.
Yeah, I know what you mean. There's two great things about seeing a hammering, or two scenarios which can play out. One is when you see a really good side showing how good they are.
Mm-hmm.
And I know sometimes when you watch Spanish football and Barcelona hammer some you know, sorry bunch of
that's hammering made boring, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. However, when you see Barcelona, the likes of Messi and whatnot, in full flow, you sort of think to yourself, yes, this looks like a training match, but my goodness, you know, you see the players who are at the top of the profession what kicking ass, and there's something amazing about that.
What was the Real Barca match we watched around Andy Brassel's house once? Was that a 5-0?
Well, that was a hammering.
Yeah.
That was a classic hammering.
It was a 6-2 in the... Was that the same season,
yeah,
maybe?
I can't remember, but it was around that time. It was around that time. But the other one, of course, is when you see a smaller team hammer a bigger side, which is very rare, and you think, damn right. Get that up, yeah. I can't remember that. Well, up, and yeah. which is why...
Oh, I'll tell you a good one. MK Dons beating United in the League Cup under Van Gaal. They beat them quite handily.
I can't remember the scoreline.
I'll find out. So
looking at Manchester United, so this is why, with regards to the scoreline, it can be... Because if a side gets a couple of goals at the end and makes it a little less embarrassing... But I'm talking Southampton 6, Man United 3.
Yeah, but can I just say, in the League Cup in August 2014, MK Dons, with Will Grigg and Benik Afobe, who both scored 2 each, beat Man United 4-0.
That's a hammering.
The nils definitely works, isn't it?
And Man United's lineup was De Gea in goal.
Already.
To be fair, the players you'd recognise, Johnny Evans played, Javier Hernandez, Danny Welbeck played, Shinji Kagawa played, Yanazai played, Pereira, who we've seen around about recently. So that is a...
Not a team that should be losing 4-0.
Should they be losing?
That was the rarest of beasts.
Any team with Shinji Kagawa in it should be hammering MK Dons. He was a string puller.
He was a great player. He still is. And the great thing about that game, just finally, Will Grigg scored 2, 65 minutes, subbed off. Benik Afobe came on to replace him. He got a couple as well. Just having a lovely time against Man United. Yeah. It's just fine.
Walking apart.
What a Tuesday night treat that is.
Man United have been involved in some. I mean, like I say, I think the Southampton 6-3. I mean, Roy Keane was sent off early on.
Yeah.
So I think you could count that. But I mean,
it's a funny one, that. So an example would be also the Portsmouth Reading, the 7-4. Did Portsmouth win that or lose that?
They won it.
They won it. So were Reading hammered? Because they scored 4.
Yeah, it's weird. That was, from what I remember, that was more of a case of Portsmouth having a field day, but also just showing the sort of concentration you usually expect from such a team, and just, you know, conceding 4 but not really caring about it.
Yeah, whereas the first major hammering I can remember, I mean, and I think it still is a joint record in the Premier League, was when Manchester United beat Ipswich Town 9-0.
Yeah.
Andy Cole scored 5 goals.
Yeah, that was the one that I was going to go for. I mean, it was just incredible. Bearing in mind that Ipswich had beaten Manchester United earlier in the season 3-2. So it's like, it wasn't like they were the whipping boys or anything.
Was it Craig Forrest in goal?
Yeah, it was.
You were saying to me, didn't he?
He went on to play for West Ham and he, I think, conceded 7 against them. Against Man United.
Head's gone.
Man United.
He's having flashbacks.
Man United have dished out some hammerings. 8-1 at the City Ground. I mean, that's away from home. Yeah. Against a respectable club, 8-1.
Away, it's more impressive away, isn't it?
It is.
It's really, really something. But going back to that Ipswich game, didn't Paul Ince take a really cheeky, quick free kick in that? I think that was my introduction to the idea of the quick free kick. That's the first one I remember.
Was that right?
I can't remember the specifics of that game at all, really.
What about the 8-2 against Arsenal?
I did want to talk about that, because when it happens to you, it is an almost surreal feeling. Past 5 goals, you're just numb. They go in and you feel a bit sick, but like it almost
still
like
watch?
It's as bad as it. Yeah.
You have to, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I remember when they beat Arsenal 6-1. I think that was in January, was it? It was early on in the season. And
Stefan
Ferguson
had his nightmare.
Yeah, and I think Arsenal equalised at one point. They were up at about 4 or 5 at half time. And I remember after the match, because Arsenal was second in the league, or certainly the most likely contenders.
Yeah.
And Ferguson said, and this was in January, I'm pretty sure it was January, it was maybe only just into the second half of the season, and Ferguson was asked, or Ferguson said, I think it's impossible for Arsenal to catch us now. And they said, oh, what? So you think you've already wrapped up the league? And then he smiled and went, no, I didn't say that. I said, it's impossible for Arsenal to catch us. And smiled.
but you know, that 8-2, that was in August of, so it was quite at the start of the season. And I remember that was, I might be wrong here, but I think that's the first time where I was thinking, because I think Arsenal had gone for a transfer window, but they hadn't really signed anyone. And Wenger was under quite a lot of pressure. And that result, it was almost a bit like, I can remember, we were doing the ramble then, and I think the chat might have been a bit around, I mean, what's Wenger going to do after this? Where can he go after this? Because, I mean, what do you do when you're such a proud manager who's won so many different trophies? And also, the undertone to this, and we talked about this on one of the earlier shows on the bus stop or whatever it was, where these were rivals, right? These are the guys who were going at it, going at the league title. Arsenal were getting a double. They may not have won the league. And these were the only two teams that were really worth a damn for a long time. And suddenly, Ferguson's United are still right at the top of the tree and Wenger's been resorted to this. It had a big effect, I think, on the psyche of Arsenal fans and their attitude towards Wenger. And rightly so.
I think even Ferguson said after that game, the 8-2, he said, I don't think we need to beat Arsenal. You know, we need to show a bit more respect. He was a little embarrassed.
Yeah, he
was, and I suppose it's easy to say that when you've just handed out a hammering like that. But I think it was really interesting.
As the Germans were against Brazil, by the way, of course,
it didn't stop them though.
No, but they did say apparently they had a conversation at half-time. Tony Kroos was saying they had a conversation. Said, "Look, come on."
Yeah, they didn't need to go and score a couple more in second half.
Didn't need to.
No, you know, they wanted to fill their boots. Right, gentlemen. After the break, a little more hammerings chat.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Football Ramble. It's the 12 Rambles of Christmas, because we're number 10. Yes, I mentioned there that Alex Ferguson was a little bit embarrassed, and Germany spoke about that at half-time. Didn't stop either of them, though, of course. In Italy, the hammering is actually, or traditionally, has been frowned upon over the years. Not so much these days, I think, because Juventus have racked up a few wins. I remember Inter winning 7-0 away from home not that long ago. But in youth games, I think they used to, I don't know if they still do, they used to stop the match.
That's right,
if it got to 4-0.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's...
What are you learning
it's
there?
It's not like it's a tap that you turn on and off, is it?
I think that's the right thing to do. I think you acknowledge that the game's... At that age, you acknowledge the game's won. Right. There's no point seriously psychologically impairing young players.
But rescuing a terrible situation, isn't that part of every footballer's...
Sure, but I think once you get... I mean, I don't know if it's four, but if it is four, then fine. But you can imagine when you get to five
nine,
or six...
If it's about 9 or 10, yeah, fair dues, that's done. But like four... Does nobody remember the Arsenal Newcastle match?
That's a good point.
You won't let us forget it.
That's second half hammering, if anything.
Yeah. But surely that's where you learn some grit and determination and steel, that like maybe there's 20 minutes to go and you've 4-0 down, but you know, you want to
you learn to be better in that last 20 minutes and you sure. grow from that. And I think, as they say,
you know, the most dangerous scoreline is 4-0.
Jim, you've hit on something there, because I remember when I was a kid playing for a team and or playing for my team or whatever, and if we got beaten heavily in the first half, I remember our manager really saying to us, look, you've got to go out and win the second half now. You've got to treat it like a mini game. You've got to go and find a bit of self-respect. It doesn't matter if you lose 6-2, you've got to win that second half 2-0. Because where I grew up playing football, there was quite a few teams who were really, really good. Mm. So you'd always know you get battered by them. Mm. And I think it was important for us to learn. And having said what I've said earlier, yeah, I don't think I would be that happy even at that age if I had to stop the game early because of that.
Because it's pretty much throwing the towel in, isn't it?
It's like rolling over, isn't it?
Showing your belly.
one hammering that really shows you how fast football moves is when Sven-Göran Eriksson's Man City were beaten 8-1 by Middlesbrough.
Yeah, yep. Last day of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Sven's last day in game in charge as well.
You'd hope. Yes. He was gone. I think it was Shinawatra? He was in charge at the time. Sven was already on his way out. Was that a parting shot?
D-Mob happy.
What's it, a parting shot?
Yeah.
You'll do anything for your man, won't you? He won't for his.
It's all part of the grand plan, wasn't it? It's all part of the grand plan.
Yeah. All right, then. Have that, so-and-so. I witnessed a hammering once. It might be the only massive hammering I've ever seen. It was at Chelsea when they beat Aston Villa 8-0 in 2002. And 2012 rather, 8-0 it was. And I'm not joking, Brad Guzan had a good game.
Yeah,
he made some saves in that game. It was
help us out, lads.
It was so strange. And when it's a bigger side beating a poorer side, there's a real, I suppose, almost carnival atmosphere and a bigger boy kind of, another one. You can see the away fans are bloody miserable, you know. Yeah. Mm. Then it's a cold day, it was in the winter and so on. But when it's a bigger side, it's almost, it's unsurprising. Whereas when you have a smaller side rack up a load of goals, they're almost a bit like laughing when the fifth or the sixth goal. They're like, some people have never seen their side score six goals in a game.
I've not been at a game where it's been 8-0, I don't think. Not a professional game.
I've seen a 7-0. It was Arsenal beat Slavia Praha, and it was magnificent.
Yeah.
Even though it's a team you'd expect them to beat. The fact that beating them that well and that, you know, that by that sort of scoreline, it really was a magnificent spectacle. Yeah.
But you mentioned Brad Guzan there playing all right. I mean, I interviewed Chris Kirkland for a Ramble Meet, as you guys know, and he was in the goal when Spurs beat Wigan 9-1 in 2009.
Oh, I mean, that's a hammering.
A couple of things about that. One is that I felt the same thing. I watched that game or highlights of that game in preparation for the interview because I knew it would come up. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I'll see what they land it, see if I mention that or not. But if I do, I need to know what it's about. So I watched, and I came away from it thinking, basically, poor bastard, because he makes some all right saves in that game.
Wasn't it 1-1 at half time?
It was 1-0 at half time.
Gordon,
Bennett. And the thing Chris Kirkland actually said in the interview, and it's obviously available if you want to go listen to it, if you haven't already, is he said that the first thing he said after the game back in the dressing room, like before anyone goes anywhere, these fans have come a long way from Wigan down to London. We need to pay for their travel.
Let's give them something to remember.
Yeah, one player refused.
It's interesting.
So I don't care. I'm not bothered.
We're getting off course slightly, but it is interesting.
That's what I'm saying.
His comments were very interesting.
It's not off course, but just purely because hammerings affect people in certain ways and it's give emotional. People and you true, find out about true. People's characters in those true. Situations. That's what I was going to say.
And they found out about an unnamed sad.
He wouldn't name him, but I think it was Hugo Rodriguez.
Well, we can only speculate, of course. Yeah. Peter, Newcastle 8, Sheffield Wednesday 0.
Yeah, well, that was a good one. I remember that one. More importantly, I think the derby results for them against Sunderland have been quite interesting. I remember a kid when I think Sunderland had been beaten 5-1 with Kevin Nolan getting a couple and Shawler, of course, putting it away.
Remember a lovely volley in that game from Shawler.
And which rarely happens. And I remember one kid going, I think it was 9-1. He had his hands up to make like the 9-1 signal. That was 1908.
That's what we spoke about.
It lives long in the memory.
When talking about derbies, we were talking about the one in Uruguay and so on. That there's an extra something when a hammering happens in a derby.
Well, but that's where the emotion comes in, isn't it? And that's where the kind of perfect, almost Goldilocks zone we were talking about earlier. Of where one team are energised by the other team losing their heads in a derby, that is amplified so much.
Totally, and that's where
I mean, 1908, you know, people remember that stuff.
I mean, the child was about 10.
but it's still there, like, that happened. And when it's a derby game, I mean, Man City beating Manchester United 6-1 at the Swamp, you know, the spell was broken.
Yeah. Oh, that was a real turning point.
It was.
It? That was a really significant moment, and that's...
There can
that's
be
the power these things have.
I think some Manchester City fans may well think that's their most cherished memory of being a Manchester City fan. It wouldn't surprise
me.
And
I think, like, people who maybe have only just started enjoying football and enjoying the Football Ramble less, won't remember the fans on Sky used to have two random fans just sat in a studio.
I mean, they weren't random. They're basically out of work actors.
doing the sort of
the commentary.
Alternative commentary. And the ones they chose on the day was a rampant kind of like maniac kind of Man City fan. And the other one was...
Was not a Manchester United fan because the Manchester United fan hadn't turned up.
Yeah.
So is that right?
Inside information.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Okay, right.
So the poor bloke was sat there getting
being humiliated. He was, of course, from London. I think he was a Manchester United fan, but he was definitely second.
He wasn't meant to be doing it.
Yeah, he wasn't meant to be doing it, but he's still a Man United
fan. The Man City guy was the most obnoxious bloke.
Yeah, but...
That was the point.
He was really endearing with it, wasn't he? Because he kept pumping his fist and going, yes.
That was why that hammering was so important for them. Years and years they'd been second best in that city. Distinctly second best. Yeah. In fact, you could even call them third best, for crying out loud.
Yeah, and this wasn't a result where it's like, all right, you're going to get one here and there. It's like, okay, we've asserted our dominance over Man United now.
There was certainly no talk about them going easy on their opponents.
It was magnificent. I think another one that actually massively goes under the radar in this conversation when people have it up and down the land is when Chelsea beat Wigan 8-0 to win the title in 2010 on the last day.
They did, didn't they?
Like that was the season after they lost 9-1 to Wigan. To Spurs.
Yes, they're good value for a hammering, Wigan.
But not in the way you'd hope for.
No, it would appear. I mean, that, you know, the ultimate sort of big team really showed their dominance against a smaller team.
I think to sum up, the reason this is popping, the reason this made our list when we were deciding is because it's the drama of it, isn't it? It's not the enjoying football for football's sake, like a 4-3 with amazing... what happens if there's a 4-3, right? You sometimes talk about the great attacking play, but more often than not, people talk about the poor defending, right? Yes. And you can analyse that and you can enjoy it because it's football, it's back and forth and it's a competition. This is all about the drama of it. If you flick the telly on a Sunday and it's Newcastle Wolves, with respect to Newcastle and
Road,
Wolves, you're not looking forward to that all week, right? Mm-hmm. But if it turns out to be 9-0
to Wolves,
we're going to be talking about that in 10 years' time.
Well, it's one of the best things that Pompey Reading game. It was one of those things where if you hadn't seen the results and you sat down for Match of the Day and Portsmouth Reading was up first, you go, hang on.
Yeah.
What has gone on
but
here?
That was a weird combination between a hammering and a ding dong.
But similar thing.
I know what you mean.
Also, as well, goals are the best bit. We're going to really boil it down. Yeah. Goals are the best bit. Let's have loads.
You're absolutely right. England beating Germany 5-1.
Can't let it go without having that in there.
Damn right. Finish on that.
The big one.
And who was in charge?
Oh, yes. Sven. Emil Heskey in the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
5-1, even Heskey scored.
Mm. Yeah.
Lovely old job. Well, thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening to number 10 of the 12 Rounds of Christmas in association with Bet365. We're back tomorrow with the penultimate episode of the 12 Rambles of Christmas. You'd be a Grinch to miss it. Say goodbye, gentlemen.
Goodbye. Goodbye.
See you tomorrow.
Season's greetings and a happy new year.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you?
did you find that? I can't even remember. Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And on my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.